passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven. Yeah.
A number of other guests will be dropping by here, including Nicole Auerbach, who's been covering the CFP meetings. Last hour of the program, we'll talk to Gene Sapikoff, who wrote a column today speculating that Clemson could be looking for an exit from the ACC. That's 2 hours away. Let's get back to the calls. And Brad is up. Brad is up next in Florida. Hello, Brad.
Paul, I tell you what, man, I know it's a good show, and people call in all the time and say you do so much, and you do, and I like the show, but I'm telling you, for my own personal mental health, I don't think it's good for me, because every time I think I'm going to transcend, I'm just going to watch it, and I ain't going to call in no more, I see that big, fat, water-headed, big-mouth goat roper from Alabama running that mouth about my dogs, and yesterday he did it to me again, and he's running his mouth about how Georgia was only favored by 14 points and blah, 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 three-peat, and this is what I want to say to Mr. Legend Gary. You don't worry about how the current national champion conducts himself, because it's going to be a long time for you have to worry about that. Last time that Georgia played you, they were your dog. They were your daddy. So, son, have some respect when you're talking to your daddy. Go Dogs. Woof, woof.
Got dog. That guy barks. Robin is in Knoxville. Hello, Robin.
Hello, Paul. I wanted to wish you a safe and happy trip to Lexington this weekend.
Thank you.
And hope that my cats can deal with the Gators. I had a question for you. Have you ever heard of a story back in the 1930s in Texas about the 12 orphans?
I don't believe so, no.
Well, it's about a coach that came in and in high school, and he got 12 orphans together and put together a team, and he supposedly is the founder of this spread offense. And the reason why I'm asking you this is because I ran across a movie and watched it, and it was called The 12 Orphans. And the Association for Texas High School wasn't going to allow them to continue to play. And then the president of the United States, Roosevelt, called and said, no, they need to play. And so I didn't know whether you were familiar with that story or not, but the coolest thing about the whole thing was at the end of the movie, they showed what all 12 of the kids did after they graduated from the orphan school, and one of them actually served in World War II and was on 62 B-17 bombing missions.
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
I know, because I think after 25 missions, you know, you could go home. But so apparently he signed up for, you know, two or three tours. But I thought that was amazing. I didn't know whether you were familiar with that story. Maybe some of the callers from Texas can come in and give us some more information on that. But I just thought I'd throw that out there and wish you a safe trip to Lexington.
Well, Robin, thanks for sharing the story and your well wishes. We'll talk to you very soon. Thank you very, very much. Let us continue. Rick is in Houston. Hey, Rick.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. So LSU is up at Ole Miss this weekend. You got any thoughts on that? Because I think that LSU is going to hang more than 24 points on them.
Yeah, I mean, I can't state the importance of this game really for both. And I know it seems like the pressure maybe is more on Ole Miss because of last week, but it's LSU can't afford two losses in the month of September either. So it's probably the most important game of the year in the SEC, even though it feels like we all said that last week with Alabama and Ole Miss. But I think from a conference standpoint, this is bigger. What's that?
But that's, you know, that's what a season does.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Hey, Paul,
the narrative changes every week.
Hey, Paul, did Jimbo ever give us any reason for why his dumb butt was out on the field during live play?
No. I guess he thought the play was over. That would be the only explanation.
He's lucky he didn't get run over.
He is. That would have been a hard fall. Hey, thank you very, very much, Rick. Good to hear from you. Big H is in Florida. Hello, Big H.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call, partner.
Thank you. Appreciate your call.
Hey, I'm looking for a big win. I'm in Lexington, the Gators over the Wildcats.
Oh, you do? Tell us why.
Because Bill Napier is like a quiet storm coming over the horizon. When you least expect it, he'll turn that program into a winner. I really have confidence in this being a noon game compared to a night game, and I see a W written all over for Florida.
Well, I know a lot of Gator fans are hoping you are correct. Thank you for sharing that vital information with us. Randy is in Georgia. Hey, Randy.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon. How are you doing?
We're doing great, Randy.
Thanks for taking my call. I want to get some thoughts on Georgia. I feel like a bunch of people are looking over looking at Auburn, Georgia game this weekend. What do you think of Georgia over the first 4 weeks and this weekend coming up?
Yeah, I'm mildly underwhelmed by them, but some of that is because the competition has been so inferior that I just don't think Georgia has played up to its potential, and I'm not sure that will happen again this week. I mean, Georgia knows how utterly woeful Auburn was in that game last week. They're watching the film.
No, but I mean, Paul, you can't underestimate Kirby Smart and his ability. You know what I'm saying? Like he.
Well, no, I just think Kirby is just leading this team along, and he knows they faced one critical test already at halftime of the South Carolina game. He knows it will happen again, and I think
who's your final four in the playoff right now?
I don't know. I mean, Georgia is. I would probably still go with Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State, and I'm undecided probably on the fourth one. Who would you say?
Georgia. I think Ohio State. And right now, I would say Florida State would be the final four.
Yeah, but one thing about saying that, I'm completely unsure of the West Coast. I think there's a great team out there. Is it Washington? Is it Oregon? Is it Utah? Is it Southern Cal? Someone has a good chance to emerge out there.
Oregon, no doubt. I mean, I think it. So I would go Georgia, Ohio State, or Michigan, and then the ACC champion, and then Oregon as my final four.
Well, thank you very, very much. You be well, Randy. You take care of yourself. How about Greg up next? Hey, Greg, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. If I don't get to say anything else, I want you to know that I appreciate the way you carry yourself and handle yourself on the show.
Well, thank you.
And even though I don't know you personally, I like you and but I was just wanting to say, I knew deep in my heart that Oregon was going to really put it on Colorado. And I just want to ask you your opinion. Hey, Paul.
Greg, you're fine. You're doing fine. I've heard everything you've said so far.
Go ahead. And, Auburn's Auburn had a wide-open receiver there in the first quarter, and quarterback overthrew him. And, you've got to take advantage of plays like that. And we had 10 penalties. Every time we would get a 20-yard run, they would bring it back because of a penalty. And I feel like I was watching the game, and I was just watching Auburn beat theirself. So
they did a really good job of that, Greg. You're
100%
correct.
Just let me know what you think about it.
Yeah, I can't get around the quarterback's play at Auburn. There's a lot of reasons why it looks so bad, but for all the hype about Peyton Thorne, I've yet to see anything. And I think this weekend they'll get exposed for even more than A&M did. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it very much. We head to the break right now. More to come right after this.
listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back, Ricky in Mississippi is up next. How are you, Ricky?
Hey, I'm doing well, Paul. I'm just calling about this monumental task we have this weekend against Bama. I heard a guy, I think it was Monday, maybe he was talking about, the transition that Zach Arnett had to do with Barbe, being the offensive coordinator. And, I just think that fits Mississippi State's, their MO from the past, and they running the football. And I just think it's just a tough transition for Will Rogers. I get it, because he is a thrower. But I'll ask you a question. Does Mike Wright, does he have any additional eligibility? Because that offense probably fits him better by him being a runner, So I don't know if he have any this last year as well. But I think the offensive line on a lot of teams is kind of the thing that's happening with a lot of teams, even in the NFL, And I think that the
Ricky, I think what we're talking about here is because of COVID, everyone got a bonus year.
Yeah, right. But I think that, with offensive line play, I think Alabama has that problem as well. And I think it's because of the transfer portal. I think that's one position, that the offensive line, they have to gel. They have to have continuity. They have to play together a while. I think the best teams are, that doesn't have that offensive challenge is because the offensive line is probably played together a while now. And all the good teams, you show that. But I think that State, I was optimistic about 7-5. I might have to change that to 5-7.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I felt like Saturday night was they competed well, but I just don't see how they're going to match up with Alabama.
I think it'll be a closer game than people expect because of the front seven and Alabama's offensive line troubles. But
yeah,
man, they defense, they secondary they're sieve though, man. I mean, that's going to be the prime. Miro just throw the ball up to somebody to catch it. Emmanuel Forbes is not there anymore. So I think that's their biggest problem is their secondary, and I just don't know if that's going to be fixed right away.
Yeah, but this matchup though, the last 2 years Alabama has owned this. It's been Alabama's best game of the year.
Right. Yeah. Right. I agree, yeah. But I just think that that as far as the SEC goes, I think it's a toss up. But I just think LSU is the more complete team, though.
I agree, but I still think Saturday night is an enormous challenge for them, I can't make a good case for Ole Miss after what I saw Saturday, but
right, yeah,
but
yeah. They can't run the ball, man.
Yeah, and that is a mystery to me. That seems more attitudinal than anything else. I don't know what's going on
Judkins. Junkins can't run the ball. I don't know.
What happened to him? I mean, he literally started the season as one of the three best running backs in the country, and he's been a no-show.
I guess that's offensive line play, too, as well, probably.
Well, some of it is, yes. I agree with you.
Yeah. All right, Paul, it's good talking
to you. Hey, Ricky, great
to
hear from you. You be well. You call us soon. We'll talk to Jay in St. Louis. So hello, Jay.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing this afternoon?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Mr. Feinbaum, I was wanting to talk to you about your thoughts and opinions on Coach Drinkwitz and the Mizzou Tigers, and are they for real, or is this just a fluke starting 3-0 this year?
Well, I don't think the last two games are a fluke. You know, in the end, it doesn't matter how you get to the finish line. It almost looked like Missouri fell backwards over the finish line against Kansas State. I mean, they did everything they could to, well, the coaching staff did, to blow the game, and then they won it anyway with that field goal. Last week, I thought you beat a good team. Where would Memphis finish in the SEC? Pretty far down, but it was a competitive win. This week probably won't be competitive, and I think Missouri will get a lot of hype going into next week's game against LSU. But it's hard for me to take them seriously as a contender.
Yeah, it is, me too. And I think a lot of it is going to depend on what LSU does this weekend to see the hype that Mizzou may actually get.
Yeah, I mean, LSU has so much on the line right now because even though it's in good shape SEC-wise, it threw away a lot with that Florida State win. So they're playing, you know, back against the wall. I think the Arkansas game, we simply underestimated Arkansas. They're a very good team. Whether they can win any games, it remains to be seen. But I think they can. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Rick is up next in Georgia. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Thank you for taking my call. I like all of your callers. Really appreciate what you do, and I enjoy your show. I watch it every day, so
thank you.
Thanks for that. And it sort of leads into my one question about the way you do treat your callers with so much respect and patience. I just wonder sometimes about Saban. I know you've known him a long time. Was he ever sort of humble? I don't know if humble is the right word, but now with people that interview him, he is so just sort of pompous and brass and, you know, just sort of short in comparison, say, with Kirby. I don't know if the parents sometimes, you know, look at this and who would rather send their kids off to school to play for one of the other type of these personalities. But was Saban ever a little bit more humble?
Rick, you know, by listening and watching the show, you count on what I try to offer is honest answers.
Yes, sir.
He's nicer now than he used to be.
Oh, man. Oh, man. I wasn't expecting that, but I guess it doesn't surprise me.
I find him to be, and it's not because of the age. Well, maybe it is, but I mean, he's much kinder, more grandfatherly. You asked him a question 10 years ago or 20 years ago, and you were liable to lose your head.
Well, I didn't know that. I'm the same age as Saban, exactly, almost. And I've got a son almost exactly the same age as Kirby, but Kirby just comes across so patient. He reminds me of you, really, the way you're so patient. Kirby can take some of these same questions from reporters that I know got to get on his nerves. They are, some of the questions can be ridiculous, just like some of your callers. But Kirby just answers these, you know, questions and so nice to the people, it seems like. But I don't know, maybe it's the age.
I think there's a lot of suppositions about Kirby, but I think he, you know, he remember he spent all those years under Saban. I think he took good notes.
Maybe so. My mother is 95 years old. She's pretty good. She loves sports. She always followed all the children playing, but she's like that song, I think it's Justin Bieber, said, "My mama can't stand you," or somebody, and she likes everybody. But mama's like that. She likes
great.
Everybody, but she does not like Saban. She just, but, and I was just wondering, if I hate to take too much of your time, I would just ask, what's your opinion of, I know, I guess, colleges try to get the coaches that maybe went to that have something vested in the school, like Kirby's a Georgia native, you know, went to Georgia. Well, I don't understand why a lot of colleges don't hire more coaches with the vested interest in the schools like that. I guess they would if they could, probably.
Well,
I guess.
Well,
what
Rick, on
think?
That question, I think they used to do it more because there was a time when if you were at Alabama or Georgia or Florida, you wanted somebody from your own. The difficulty is that there has to be somebody that stands out. So if there's not an obvious apparent choice, then you just can't force it just because the the person played or coach. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much. We head to the break. We have a lot to, more to do. We're going to find out a little bit more about Ole Miss with David Eckhart up next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This is from the Clarion Ledger, getting a lot of business today. Talking about Lane Kiffin. We're going into areas that most of us are not familiar with. So we'll ask David Eckhart to explain. David, thank you for joining us. So what's it all about with Lane Kiffin this week? Good afternoon.
Appreciate it, Paul. Always good to be on. Just the second in two really big weekends for Ole Miss, I think. Deciding what this season is going to be for them. And, you know, the tie-in to Lane Kiffin, obviously, is he hasn't had a whole lot of success against the really top tier of the SEC since he's been here. He's trying to get that big win that's kind of eluded him. And that's kind of been what we've been talking about this week over here for the most part. But, that's a storyline.
And what does he say about his inability to beat good teams?
Not much. not much. You know, I think he does attempt and really – you know, it's valid to say, hey, these teams are almost always more gifted, more athletic than the ones that he has. I think that's just a fact. You could say all you want about Alabama struggling, you know, maybe not playing well against USF, losing to Texas. You look at the recruiting rankings, even taking into account the transfer portal, like, that is still a significantly more talented team than the one Ole Miss brought in there. And LSU will be the same way. Those guys can recruit at a level that right now Ole Miss hasn't. So I think that's kind of what he talks about in the lead up to a lot of these games. And he's right. But, you know, I think Ole Miss fans would still like to see him, occasionally get one of these.
And David, we're not talking about a government employee here. He just got a new contract that pays him close to $9 million. not to lay it on thick, but when you make $9 million a year, you're expected to do more than just run your mouth in your Twitter feed all week, which is pretty much what he did last week in a most disturbing fashion. I haven't paid that much attention to what Lane has had to say this week, but what, if anything, has he said in relation to all the shots he took and was unable to deliver?
Nothing really. I mean, post game, he's really just, he just complimented Nick Saban, as he always does, really. I mean, you know, he'll troll and, you know, occasionally have, you know, something to say, but he's never had a bad word to say about Nick Saban. So post game, just really complimentary, kind of the same since then. The most he's done this week is kind of had a laugh with Brian Kelly about wishing that he'd move Harold Perkins back to inside linebacker. But there hasn't been a whole lot of, you know, Taylor Swift jokes or whatever you want on from Lane Kiffin this week.
David, everybody loves Kiffin, loves the Twitter game, loves the dog, loves everything. But what about fans today? I mean, what are you hearing from people on the streets as you walk around and talk to folks?
I think, you know, they definitely still support Lane Kiffin, right? Let's just get that out there. I think, you know, the vast majority of Ole Miss fans are very happy that Lane Kiffin is their head coach. But, you know, there's some frustration over the Alabama game, 100%. That was the best chance that Ole Miss has had to beat Alabama in years. I don't think it's out of line to say that's, you know, probably the best chance they'll have for the next two or three years as well. So they're frustrated. They are unhappy with the offense at the moment. You know, just no explosiveness at all in the Alabama game. Couldn't really run the ball. That, I think, is probably the biggest issue, right? Lane Kiffin's offense is run the ball effectively. He's led the SEC in rushing two out of the last 3 years, and that just does not look anywhere close to the realm of possibility this year, given how they've run the ball. So, yeah, there's a little bit of frustration, but I don't think it's, you know, the kind of frustration you take action with, I guess is how I'll phrase it.
Well, he just got a new contract, so I don't know what kind of action you could take other than maybe take his phone away from him. But speaking of the rushing, what is going on there? Because, you know, Judkins was one of the top rushers, if not the best, in the SEC a year ago. He was expected to be all everything. There was some talk about him being banged up, but then that kind of went away, leading many to wonder what in the world that was about. So what can you share with us on this subject?
Yeah, I asked Lane Sunday whether Judkins, you know, was back healthy for that Alabama game. He didn't really answer directly. He just kind of said that he looked good, and I don't entirely disagree with that. He didn't look like last year's Quinshon Judkins, but as far as what we've gotten this year, you know, I think that was probably his best performance. But the offensive line is a problem. You know, it's just they, for whatever reason, the rushing lanes are not there like they were for this team last year. They haven't had explosive runs at all. The ones that they have come from Jackson Dart, really. So that's a problem. And look, I mean, this offense is built to, Kiffin says it all the time, score from far. And they want to do that in the running game too. And that just has not been there. I think it probably starts with the offensive line, but Judkins, probably the last 2 weeks, not 100%. We'll see what he's like this Saturday. But both of those things are concerns, definitely.
What about Trey Harrison? No, he's been banged up as well. What's his status for Saturday night?
Yeah, I think he's going to be pretty close to full go. Kiffin said he was 70% against Alabama, really limited. I think he's going to be, if not full go, very close to it.
I mean, I hate to state the obvious here with Georgia later in the season, but a loss Saturday night, and what happens to any chance of making a run this year?
Yeah, you got to get this one. You just do. You want to win 9-10 games, I mean, you just got to get it, period. You know, you're already walking a difficult path. You know, you're going to have to win at Auburn. You're going to have to win at Mississippi State. Probably not things you should take for granted, even though it looks, you know, you'd probably favor Ole Miss in those games now. So, you know, even to preserve that thin path for yourself, you got to get this one, period.
David Eckert joining us from the Clarion Ledger talking about Ole Miss. We'll take a short break. More to come. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we're back, and George is up next in Louisiana. Hello, George.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Listen, I've been sitting here watching all this stuff about thinking about the CFP, and I'm seeing a scenario where SEC could get shut out of the 4-team playoff. I mean, if Bama or LSU wins out and beats Georgia in the conference championship, then we're going to have a one-loss SEC champion, and I wonder how that's going to fare with the other teams that are out there, like Ohio State and the West Coast teams, and even somebody from the Big 12.
Well, it's a good question in the sense that the Georgia, if Alabama, you know, or if Alabama were to be run the table and beat Georgia, they're going to get in the playoffs. I mean, that's win over the number one team in the country will carry them a long way. Just same way for a for LSU or Texas A&M or anybody else. The real question then becomes, what happens to Georgia? Georgia could be in trouble because they have literally nothing to show for their season right now.
Exactly. That's what I was saying. I mean, their schedule, I mean, I know it's not their fault. They don't make the schedule, but their schedule is so weak. You know, I mean, I know they play the SEC East teams. There's some good teams there, but they won't, if unless they beat Alabama or LSU in the SEC championship game, of course, then it'll be a no-brainer. They'll be in, but even one of those teams, I don't think it's going to give them the star power they need from their wins, because their schedule's just weak.
Yeah, it is terrible, and it doesn't matter why it is terrible, because that's already been discussed. But they'll get penalized terribly for UT Martin, Ball State, and UAB. And you know, again, Georgia Tech is somewhat unfair. They're playing a Power 5 team in a legitimate conference, and they're not going to get anything out of it because Georgia Tech is not considered to be worthy. Well, thank you for the call. Excellent point. How about Danny in South Carolina? Hello, Danny.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are well. Thank you very much.
Okay. I just have a couple of points I wanted to make to you that really been kind of concerning me about all this NIL and all this stuff that's going on. You know, I was thinking about what about these military academies like the Citadel and West Point and places like that. You know, I mean, I know these kids have got a higher calling, but you're not going to see a lot of NIL money going into these schools, so you know that's just going to make the poorer. I mean, they're not that competitive now as it is. And it's just going to make them poorer. And you know, one of the largest games in the nation is the Army-Navy game. And
you have to remember, too, when you go to West Point or Annapolis, you're making a serious commitment. You're not only recruited, you have to get somebody in Congress to write you a letter of recommendation. You had to be approved. You're not looking for the same type of thing as a player that goes to Georgia or Auburn. Hey,
yeah.
Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. Jace is in Augusta. You're on the air. Hello, Jace.
Hey, Paul. I wanted to just make a couple predictions. I mean, I guess this legend can do that. I can do that as well. I've got Kentucky beating Florida. And I've got Arkansas beating Texas A&M and South Carolina beating Tennessee. What do you think about that?
Well, you certainly went out on a limb on that South Carolina prediction.
Well, and I had another question for you, too. When do you expect to be in Athens for a game?
My guess, very soon. How about that?
Okay. All right. More to come on that. So I would
think we're getting very close to hitching the truck for Athens, like next week.
Okay. All right. Well, like I said, I'll continue to watch the show. And thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Jace. Appreciate it. I mean, again, a lot of that is fluid, but I gave a prediction. I told a guy a couple weeks ago I'd see him next week in Gainesville. We never got there. So don't go to the bank with me. he's still waiting by the Greyhound bus station. Keith is in Tennessee. Hello, Keith.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, good. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I was calling to ask you about. Do you think Alabama have a good chance after winning this weekend?
Yes, sir,
I
do.
College playoff.
I feel like Alabama is in good shape right now. What about you?
Yes, I thought they had a bounce back game last week.
Well, they needed one, and they got one. And I think that's what good teams do. They deal with adversity, and they bounce back, and they make a run. George is in Kansas City. Hello, George.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Things are great. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm just calling, Paul. I want to get your take on the 4-0 Missouri Tigers. You know, obviously had that big win against Kansas State, came out, took care of business against Memphis this past week. You know, we've got a game at Vandy, you know, a not very good Vandy team. You know, the Tigers have a good shot at being 5-0 going into an LSU game. I just kind of want to get your thoughts on the Tigers season so far and kind of see if you think we can make some noise in the SEC East.
Yeah, I think that was a game weeks ago, we said could be really special. And I think we're going to see that game shape up to be one of the early showdowns in the SEC. The question is, what do we know about Missouri? And I know that sounds like I'm a doubter. But I just don't know. The injury situation is a little bit problematic with Brady Cook. I don't know what his health situation is. Seems like he's literally going game to game. And I think they're going for LSU to beat for you guys to beat LSU. That is going to be essential. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check out Rhett in South Carolina. Hello, Rhett.
Hey, Mr. Paul, how you doing today?
Hey there.
Just want to get your take. I've heard a few people comment about the South Carolina-Florida game this weekend, and I don't feel like you're rooting for the Gamecocks.
Well, it's not a matter of rooting. I, as of the middle of the week, favor Tennessee in the game. Well, give me a reason to like South Carolina.
Yeah, I understand, right? But, you know, Rattler, man, he's come out. I'm not so sure that the offensive line is going to block for him. Like, you know, obviously we got some woes there, but, I mean, his numbers was right there with LSU. I mean, he was right there with them. But the same, it's going to be another great matchup, Milton. You know,
well,
they're
I think you mentioned
equally.
The quarterback that I'm going to be eyeing. I know Rattler's can handle the moment. I don't know about Milton. Do you?
Yeah, the same, but I just feel like they, you know, they definitely still mad at us from last year.
Yeah, I think that's always a factor. I mean, it's a serious revenge game for Tennessee. Now, whether they're able to put that in the right place and get something out of it, but they need quality play from Joe Milton. Otherwise, they are going to go down again. We'll take a break. More to come. 2 hours remaining, and we hope you'll stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.